This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to a special edition of the iFanboy comic book podcast, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Here comes the Human Torch, flying up ahead. Member of the Fantastic Four, led by Mr. Fantastic. The Invisible Girl, Mr. Fantastic and the Human Torch.
Hey, welcome to a special edition of the iFanboy comic book podcast, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. I'm Connor. I'm here with Ron.
Hey.
And Josh did not go to the movie.
He didn't bring it.
Again.
Well, it's probably important to mention that we're a little late with this podcast because Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer came out while we were in Charlotte at Heroes Con, and we didn't get to go see it.
So we saw it the week after, and now here's the show.
The first thing we did when we got back from Charlotte was go to the movies, right?
Right. Well, I slept, and then I saw the movie.
I slept, then went to work.
Yeah.
Then I slept some more.
There was food in there, and then. 2 days later, there was the movie.
Okay.
So what'd you think, Ronald?
I had high hopes for this movie. I thought that, I didn't mind the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love it. I didn't think it was awful. Right. What did you think of the first movie?
I thought it was very disappointing.
Okay, interesting. I thought on a whole, the second go-around was more of the same. I thought it was very consistent with the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that consistency means that it was okay. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It wasn't the best comic book movie in the world. But I thought it was passable.
I thought it was exceedingly average.
That's a very good way to describe it.
It was above average in parts. It was below average in parts. On the whole, it was average. It was, unlike Ghost Rider, we came out of Ghost Rider kind of like annoyed.
Yeah.
That we wasted our time.
Oh, you were annoyed. I loved it.
Yeah, well, you loved it because it was so bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I came out of Fantastic Four. I didn't feel like I wasted my time. I felt like I was entertained, but at the same time, it was kind of disappointing. But the first thing you said to me when the movie ended was...
That's it? Remember? Did I say that's it?
You looked at your watch.
Yes. Said, it's 8:40.
Yeah,
the movie started at 7, and we watched like 15 trailers, so there's no way this movie was 90 minutes.
It was a very short movie, it felt short.
But honestly, in contrast to Spider-Man 3, was that a bad thing?
Yeah, I felt like it needed another 20 minutes of something because it went from basically the story. The movie is the Silver Surfer comes. It's the Silver Surfer tale, and he interrupts Reed and Sue's wedding in the beginning, and it goes from basically from wedding to Silver Surfer to fight. Movie's over. Like there was no.
It was really fast.
There was no development really. There was no time to. There was no like. There was none of that good character stuff you really like. I mean, there was a little bit of it, not enough. Yeah. I think.
I think in the way that Spider-Man 3 was 20 minutes too long, this was maybe 20 minutes too short. Yeah. So, all right. Well, before we go forward, we're gonna spoil shit. So, like, if you hadn't seen the movie, you know, stop listening. But if you have seen the movie, you'll enjoy this. If you haven't seen the movie, don't worry, because this isn't Citizen Kane. We're not ruining anything.
You know what's interesting? Yeah.
If you're into comics, you know the story. So it's like,
yeah. You know what's interesting is that there's been very little post movie buzz on this one.
Oh, it's like died.
We have every time a comic movie comes out, we've got a discussion on our website and on the forums. And it's always burning up the discussion for a good week afterwards. And this one, the forum discussion didn't come up for like 2 days after the movie came out. And then, nobody posted about it for 2 days. And then it's only had like 20 responses, where most of these movies get 200 plus responses. And
right, yeah.
It's just a very odd thing. I don't know.
You're perplexed by it, aren't you?
I'm a little perplexed. I will say this. I thought the cast was good the first time. I thought they were a little bit better this time. I didn't like Ewan Griffin and Jessica Alba in the first one, but I liked them in this one. I thought they had a better handle on Reed and Sue.
Well, what's interesting is that I think in terms of cast, I think a lot of people, I think our characters at least, the biggest problem was with Sue, with the character of Sue.
I had no problem with it. I don't know what people.
Yeah, I could see why, because she was a little. I mean, it just that she. I don't know. There was something off about her. First off, she looked really freaky. She looked really different from the first movie. And I don't know if it was the contacts or the eyelashes or what, but she looked weird. She looked almost like manga.
Right.
Which is weird. But a lot of people had a problem with, you know, that she was so obsessed with the wedding and like
right.
and that, and while it was kind of. You know, I the thing about these characters is that I think that these actors work very well together, and they really bring to life the characterization of the Fantastic Four as a family,
right.
with all the bickering and all that kind of stuff. But I can't imagine that Sue would be as obsessed with the wedding and like it going off perfectly and all that kind of stuff.
Right, but by the end though, she comes around.
Yeah, that's her story arc. Yeah, so it's I don't know, it's difficult. But
one stupid little nitpick that I had during the whole movie was. Like, they put Jessica Alba in a really either bad wig or bad dye job. Like,
yeah.
Whatever they have, she's got this bright blonde hair. And why didn't they do that to Chris Evans?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, like, he was supposed to be blonde. Yeah, yeah.
It was just weird. I mean, it's like, if you're going to do it for one of them, why not both?
Chris Evans, who played the Fantastic the Human Torch of the Fantastic Four.
He played all of them.
Yeah, he played
Murphy role.
But, he almost did at the end when he got the Super Skrull powers.
How do you feel about that?
I was really disappointed to see them take the concept of the Super Skrull, which is a Skrull character who gets all the Fantastic Four powers, and kind of just tack it on. I mean, that's the general problem with these movies, is that what they're doing is they're looking at the comics history, and they're looking at the stories, and they're taking the bits and pieces that they like and pasting them all together. And while I understand why they're doing it, and they're making it really Fantastic Four more than any of the other Marvel movies in the past couple of years, is completely a movie that I can tell my dad or my brother-in-law to go watch, because I know they'll dig it. As I get a text message, I apologize.
It was Chris Evans saying, "I was Johnny Storm, you bastard."
but the thing is that these movies can be enjoyable by a mass audience, by somebody who's as obsessive as we are. We get annoyed by the Super Skrull being co-opted but I understand why they did it, though.
I had no problem with it, because they're never going to make a Skrull movie.
Right, exactly.
And
exactly.
It's a cool idea. I thought for sure, basically what happens is we'll get to the Silver Surfer in a second, but Johnny Storm gets in contact with Silver Surfer, and it screws up his cosmicness. And
so whenever he touches one of the other four, he gets their powers.
They switch powers, and I thought when he switched powers with the Thing, which, by the way, he's always switching, is getting back to human form. So the whole idea of the Thing being this tragic character who's always going to be a monster is kind of silly in the movies. But I thought for sure, because there was a whole bit with him and Alicia talking about how could they love each other because he's a rock man and stuff. I thought for sure they'd get like a moment of you know, human Ben and Alicia together.
Yeah, and they didn't.
I thought that Johnny would like go up and slap him on the back and say, you know, go off and have a night with her and I'll be the Thing for the night. Like,
right.
I thought that would have been a good moment they didn't put in there.
But you know why they didn't? Because the movie's rated PG, and it's aimed at families and kids. And
I don't even mean sex-wise. I mean, they could kiss.
No, I know they didn't, but I'm just saying, like, that to me, that's almost that's something complex.
Right.
And so they didn't this movie is very simple.
Yeah.
You know, so, which isn't bad. I mean, which isn't a bad thing. It's just that's what it is. And once you know that's what it is, then, you know, you can roll with it. I mean, so in terms of the good, I mean, I still think the Human Torch, Chris Evans, is fantastic.
No, he's a great Human Torch.
I had a problem with the Thing last time around. I came around to him this time, and I was actually okay with him. So it was better this time for some reason. I don't know why.
My favorite thing was Silver Surfer was awesome.
Silver Surfer was probably the best thing in the movie, is that they nailed the Silver Surfer. They absolutely nailed him.
It was a sight to behold, because, you know, you'd ask me 10 years ago if I'm going to see a Silver Surfer realized in a movie, and I'm going to say no.
Right, and they did it.
Yeah.
But now the thing is, what comes with that is that, so for those folks who don't know, the main gist of the storyline is that the Silver Surfer comes to Earth, and he is a Herald of Galactus, which is a cosmic entity that devours planets. And we all know it from the comics that Galactus is the guy with the big purple helmet, and he's huge, and he was defeated by the Fantastic Four, but the Watcher got involved, and the Ultimate Nullifier. Going into this movie, I knew there was no way there would be a Watcher or an Ultimate Nullifier or anything.
Right.
And turns out there wasn't a being that was Galactus. Rather, they went with the kind of swarm cloud effect that Warren Ellis came up with for the Ultimate Universe.
Well, there may have been a being.
There may have been a being.
There was hints of there being a being within the clouds.
Which I thought was good, which I thought was smart, because that kind of gets people like me to shut up. You know, be like,
they
ooh, I
did. They could have hinted a little more, but at the end, when the Surfer flies into the cloud, you see the shadow of the helmet,
yep.
And then in the close shot, and the long wide shot, you kind of see the outline of a whole body.
Yeah,
it was deep within there, and that's
when the cloud was moving over Jupiter, you saw the outline of the shadow of the helmet and stuff like that. So, or what looked like the helmet, you know. So
I just would have loved to see the big purple guy up there. It would have been completely ridiculous, and people would have laughed who don't read the comics, but.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been cool to see Big Galactus up there.
I know, it would have been awesome. It would have been fun. But
for me and you and 30,000 other people across the country, and everybody else would have laughed.
Yeah.
Don't you understand how cool that is?
Exactly.
Now, one more thing I want to say that was disappointing about the film was Ron and I sitting in the theater, there was a, let's say, dim-witted couple behind us.
Yes.
They were constantly explaining what was happening to each other and why things were happening.
Yep.
Very basic, like, obvious things. If you have a script where the dim-witted couple can predict the dialogue in many spots before it comes on screen, then you've got a bad script.
And that happened a lot.
Yeah. They were saying lines before – they predicted lines before the lines were said by the actors. And if the dimwits can do that, then it's not very smart. It's full of cliches. And it really was full of cliches. It wasn't very well. The same problem I had the first film with the second film is that the directing and the script were just very subpar.
Yep. Yeah, totally.
The actors were great, and it looks pretty good. Some of the Mr. Fantastic stuff was a little shoddy effects-wise, but
yeah.
The problem is the script and the director are just
right. The thing is, like you said, it's average. It's absolutely. Yeah. I think average is the best way to describe it. I mean, it's totally average. And the thing is that it's not bad. Like a lot of people saying it was awful. I mean, I know a very good friend of mine hated it and didn't understand why people were saying that was good. So I know we had a lot of people on our site saying that on iFanboy.com saying that they thought it was really good and stuff like that. I can understand where that comes from. I mean, there were some action points. There was comedy. There was a little bit of everything for everybody. But it was no X2. It was no Batman Begins. Yeah, absolutely not. You know, so
but they made up for the first film by really nailing Doom in this one.
Yeah, much more so than last time.
I mean, you really got Doom. You had the full on costume, like unlike the first one where he's kind of wearing raggy type of Ultimate Doom clothes. This one he had the full on armor suit with the green cloak.
Yep.
And he was smart and he was cunning and he was dangerous and I loved every moment of Doom.
Yeah.
Especially Doom riding the surfboard.
Yeah, Doom was good. Doom was really, really good. And the thing was they handled the power cosmic and the surfboard powers and everything like that. They handled it without having to explain it.
Yeah, that was good.
That's really hard, and I think they pulled it off. But I was so glad to see them actually get Silver Surfer to speak his name, to say that he's Norrin Rad.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, oh, it was great. And bonus points to anybody who remembers Norrin Rad's love's name.
Huge nerd.
A huge nerd like me. But that wasn't in the movie. I don't know. I mean, I thought they nailed the Silver Surfer as best as they could, given what was going on. So.
It's basically the kind of movie where I came out of it saying, "All right, it was okay. I didn't feel ripped off, but I don't have any desire to see it again." You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I'd probably, if I came on TV, I'd watch for the Silver Surfer stuff. But other than that, like, yeah. You know, Superman Returns has been on TV all week, and I've been watching that all week, and that you know, I can watch that 10 times in a week.
Well, me, I just got my X3 DVD, so that's what I'm gonna watch.
Talk about bad.
Yeah, exactly. This was better than X3. I'll give it that. So,
yes. Well, that's
Next. Well, the thing is that, and we were talking about this on the way out. This is the total comic nerds kind of thing, and this is where we're getting a little more, kind of bitchy and whiny. But now we've got, several comic book storylines, such as the Dark Phoenix saga, the coming of Galactus, and what was the third one? Gwen Stacy and Spider-Man that have been
butchered,
but now they're done. We won't see them in movies, at least, unless they decide just to do a redo like they're doing with the Hulk. Who knows, But it's just kind of sad because those are really the epic stories, and I would much rather see something a little simpler than something not as sacred as those stories kind of butchered. But
I don't want to see them attempt those stories. That's the thing. I mean, stories can't be done in a 2-hour movie, and they shouldn't be tried. Well, you could have done Gwen Stacy in a 2-hour movie. That's the only one I think you could have done.
Yeah,
you replace Mary Jane with Gwen in the first one and have her die, and then you could do that, but you can't do Dark Phoenix, and you can't do really Galactus without being silly,
right? Yeah,
they should do the best comic book movies are the ones that take the character and take the surroundings and stay true to that, but then they go off and make their own story.
Yep. Yeah.
Because it's a different medium. Comics and movies are different, and they can't really tell the same stories in them.
Yep. Exactly.
It's not a waste of time. It's not a complete waste of time.
Yeah, not a complete waste of time, but it's also not like stop. If you haven't seen it, stop what you're doing, go get it.
Yeah, no.
Go see it. So, yeah.
It was what I thought it was going to be going in.
Yep.
It was a little bit better than the first one, and that's not saying a whole lot.
I'm a little relieved now that's out, so I don't have to be anticipating or worrying about it or anything like that. Not that I was, but it's kind of good that it's out. Okay, fine, move on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so if you saw Fantastic Four 2 and you didn't say what you thought of it on the site and the forums yet, head over to ifanboy.com or go to revision3.com/ifanboy and click on the forums and check it out, or click the forums link on ifanboy.com and let people know what you thought, because more than likely you hated what we said about it.
we can assume so.
Yeah.
So if you want to call us, it's 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697. You can leave your review of Fantastic Four, but if it's longer than 30 seconds, there's no chance we're going to play it on the air. contact ifanboy.com is a place to email us your thoughts on the movie.
And if for some reason you've come across this podcast as your first exposure to iFanboy, this isn't our normal show. These are our special movie review shows. But normally every Sunday night, our Pick of the Week podcast comes out, where we review the previous week's books. And every Wednesday, our video show, iFanboy, comes out. And you can check out the fun comic talk in video. Yeah. So
this is the last one for a while.
I think this is unless we decide to do Transformers.
Which we might,
maybe. We'll see. Yeah,
there was a Transformers comic book, so.
Yeah, there was. I do remember reading it, so. And the Transformers trailer, it was pretty bitchin', so. I don't know, we'll see.
So.
All right, so until then, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And we'll see you at the movies.
Oh, Jesus.
I've always wanted to do that.
Mr. Fantastic can't stretch all day, and Visco fades away. The Human Torch burns the sky, thinks this is clobber time. Invisible Girl, Mr. Fantastic and the Human Torch. Hey, here comes the thing. Go,
Fantastic.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing. And some people, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.